It's great to be here. And do you understand me? I'll just talk to you a little bit to see if you can get my language. Usually I have a translator with me. I'm from West Yorkshire originally. I don't know if anybody's from Yorkshire, but it's actually the place to be. It's where the Queen, where she really originates from. And so I'm very refined, and you'll notice that. So I don't know if you can pick up. Is there anybody from Yorkshire at all? We get all over the place, even into countries like Scotland. It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to it. Gordon said to me, because when I travel, I don't know whether to put on a suit or dressed. You know, sometimes I've come to places and like I'm clearly overdressed, or like I've gone somewhere and I need to go to a shop before I arrive because I've not dressed properly. And Gordon said to me, "Leave your tie at home. We're not that kind of a church. We dress down." And I got it wrong again, you know. So I apologize for that. Clearly, shorts is the way to go. Just looking forward to telling John Glass. It's great. And I'm here to say thank you to you as a church. You've got a great missions leader. Met Ruth before the service began, and she's got a team. Is Ruth's missions team here? Just give me a little wave if you're in the church. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 absent. Can I make a note of that? No. So, Ruth, why don't you stand up and let your church clap you and give you a round of applause for all that you do? Yay! Every church needs a Ruth and a team just to keep the church focused beyond itself. I love your this stand here, you know, bringing the kingdom of God to the city and beyond. You know, if you've been in the church a while, these kind of things that you just walk through the church doors and you come in, you don't even look at them, you know, because, well, I know what I've seen that. It's been there a year or whatever, you know. But these are really trying to speak into the life of the church and pay attention to them now and again and recognize what God is doing it prophetically in your church. So thank you for your support to Neil and Charlie and to Helen Johnson and to the other projects that you've been involved in. And I spoke to Neil and Charlie a few weeks ago and said, you know, eternity will tell of the influence that you've had there in Israel. But it's two churches, particularly you, that enabled them to be there for so long. And I want to say thank you to that. I've enjoyed the worship. It's been great this morning. And it's a great church, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you like coming here? So I always ask that question. My wife comes with me in the UK and she gets fed up of me doing the same introduction, really. I always ask the church, you know, do you like coming here? And it's amazing. You were very quick there on, it's a good church. Yeah, you know, sometimes you get about 3 people answering, you know. Yeah. Do you like coming here? You know, and there's a long silence, you know. You're getting off to a great start, you know. But anyway, it's a little bit, it's I particularly like it because your pastor said that normally you don't finish till 3, and so it gives me great flexibility. So what I want to do is share with you very quickly the work of Ela Missions, and then I want to get into the word that I prepared for this church this morning. So, if that's okay with yourselves, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes and then just tell you who we are, what we're doing, and then we're going to open our Bibles. There are three verses. Well, let me just try this first. Got a signal. This is a clicker, by the way. How are we doing? Oh, there we go. Perfect. Okay, there are three verses that that form all that we do as Elam International Missions around the world. First verse is, I will build my church. Jesus says, I'll build my church. And that's our work of church planting, various different discipleship and making models. There, in people groups, there's over 16,000 people groups in the world. There's still over 7,000 people groups that are under-evangelized, don't know about Jesus, or there's not enough Christians in that community to make a difference to them. And over 90% of foreign missionaries are going to countries where 60% or more are Christians. And so Elam International Missions is really looking at that, changing the way that we are directing our missionaries and also our resources. So we want to actually focus on people who don't know Jesus and allow the countries where, well, I mean, we've got lots of great work in Kenya at the moment, brilliant works going on, but 60% of Kenyans are Christians. Far more than some of the Western countries. And so we need to look into some of these people groups which don't know Jesus yet. But our overriding thing is to see Jesus building his church. Our Elam missionaries, we have eight, at the moment we have 85 long-term missionaries, long-term for more than 1 year. They're in 43 different placements in 31 countries. This year we're processing five new couples going out, and they're doing a fantastic job. Global partners, there's over 320 global partners where we send short-term teams around the world. And the second verse, the second thing that's our overriding focus is that our missionaries go out into all the world to preach the gospel. So whether they're missionaries or engineers or teachers or whatever their visa says that they're doing, they're going there to take the love of God and the gospel to people who don't know Jesus. And that might sound really obvious to you, but out in the world under the term missionary, it covers a whole multitude of things. But we're directing our missionaries solely into the gospel reach. Challenging them, and they're coming back with incredible stories. Stories like this couple here. This is our latest converts. Actually, this picture I took pre the earthquake in Nepal. Bless them, but they are okay. These couple are okay since the earthquake. This is this man here is 100 years of age. And he was for 40 years a Buddhist high priest, and he specialized in healing and in Kathmandu, and he's got an amazing following in Nepal, and they all have been coming to him for 40 years to be healed, and he would use supernatural powers to bring healing to them until the day he got sick himself at 100 years of age. And couldn't heal himself. So a missionary came by and introduced him to Jesus, who healed him. And glory to God. And he then led his wife to the Lord. She's 10 years younger than him, 90. He's called Abraham and she's called Sarah. No. It's amazing. There are scores of people coming to know Jesus every day. 60,000 people come to know Christ. 60,000 every single day coming to know Jesus. I mean, we hear so many terrible things that are happening to Christians, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But the fact is that I mean, I've been singing since I was a child. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. He really is. And it's a joy to be able to stand before you and just tell you stories like this, stories of this lady here. We were visiting on the Indian border at the end of last year, and we crossed a dry riverbed, and she goes here every single day into the drive twice a day. She's just sifting the sand out of the water there, and then she pour it into a jar, put it on her head, and just carry it back to her family. And we invited her to the church plant that we have in her village. And on that day, she's there, and the missionary is preaching, and just invited people to kneel if they wanted to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And she joined them and knelt down and gave her heart to the Lord on just an ordinary day. Individuals are finding Christ from all different cultures. Baptisms are taking place. There's nothing unusual about that. This is a photograph that was sent to me a year ago. I was at that place. I was invited to baptize, but I felt the Lord say, don't just take the photograph because it didn't look very clean. I mean, who's going to go in there? It looks really, really dirty, doesn't it? It's an amazing place. It's in Burkina Faso. One of our amazing missionaries, ordained pastor within Elam, and God's using him amazingly so. But anyway, there's a baptism. There's nothing unusual with that. You have your baptisms here. They're brilliant. But there's nothing really unique until I tell you that those two men who were baptizing 12 months ago, they were Muslim clerics. And now, in these last 12 months, their lives have been totally turned around, found Jesus, and are now church leaders. So just amazing, isn't it? Except four people who backed out at the last minute because of the cost that would be involved. There's 32 people there. And on Easter Sunday this year, those 32 people in Burkina Faso who were Muslims, converted, were baptized in water. And there they are in that service, being baptized. Muslims are coming to know Christ, and we're blessed as Elam around the world to see this happening. And yet, the target, the aim is still before us. 70,000 people die in the unreached world without Jesus every day. 60,000 people come to know Christ in the world every day. 70,000 people die without Christ. So the need is still great, and that's why you and I are involved in this work. The third aspect, the third focus is this, is that we are Pentecostals, and this is our third verse. The power of the Holy Spirit upon us. And although that might seem obvious to you, our missionaries work in missionary communities around the world. And some of these missionaries come from different walks of life and streams, and some of them believe that the Acts of the Spirit finished at the end of the Acts of the Apostles, and our missionaries don't. And we believe that the Spirit is working today. Every month, the missionaries come onto a Skype call with me throughout the whole day, like a house group situation. They share a little word. And last June, I remember the scripture that we were taking was when the Apostle Paul says, "I speak in tongues more than all of you," would you disagree with him and say, "No, you don't"? And so we had this discussion as missionaries about the gift of tongues. You know, do you wear it as a badge or do you use it? You know, you, when the gift of tongues is for our edification, when you're down and feeling depressed, do you turn for a self-help book or do you begin to speak in tongues if you really believe in it? If tongues is utters mysteries and brings to the surface the wisdom of God, when you don't know what to do, do you go running around for 4, 5, 6 voices to help you guide you through your life? Or do you go through a time of praying in tongues? And we had this whole discussion, and the next day, to a couple of missionaries, a married couple, wrote to me and said, we've been on the mission field 7 years, and we've put down the gift of tongues in our ministry. We've just picked it back up again. 9 months later, I met them at conference last week. I think it was week before. And he came to me and said, boy, I said to him, I said, you're looking so thin. What's going on? He said, well, we're just on a 40-day fast, really seeking the Spirit, really seeking for an outpouring. And there's been healings taking place and just supernatural things through our ministry, and people are getting saved in a dramatic way. And I'm saying that story to you, that our missionaries overseas are very much moving in the things of the Holy Spirit and are seeing miracles today. And I can tell you story after story of lives being changed. I'm desperate to come and just share with you about a word that's playing on my heart just for this church this morning. It's been fresh in my heart this week for this morning. I could give you so much more, so many more stories. I'll share one or two during my word, but if you want to get involved, when you came through the door today, there was a Pray, Give, Go leaflet, and we're just asking ELA members in all the churches in the UK, where we're zero-funded headquarters, don't give us anything, and that's not a criticism, it's just how it is. So where we don't get grants, we don't get anything, it's all faith-based, we're just praying everything. But we are asking if ELA members want to get behind us, and that's just, if you want to give £1 a week, that would be really great. And you just fill in a standing order direct debit form and you just hand that in, either hand that into your leaders here or just post it to us. And it's proven a real blessing as that's happening. And then those people who are doing that, throughout every 2 months, we're going to send to you information about what's happening around the world. And you get the stories and you get the works that we're involved in. Thank you. Let me come to you now and share with you. No, that's it. We're there on that slide. What's happened there? That's a nice slide. I like that one. Oh, there you go. Let me come to you this morning and say to you, I want you to see past all the phenomena on that day for a moment. Just see past the violent wind, just see past the tongues of fire for a while and the tongue speaking, and you'll find ordinary men and women like you and me who on that particular day became saturated in the Spirit of God, so much so that their cold obedience possessed a passion for Jesus that was like a fire that would eventually move out of Jerusalem to the whole earth. And they would go in their journey with a desire for Jesus, their Lord. And this possession of God upon them, this holy passion for righteousness, this consuming enthusiasm for the lost, this burden that came upon them as a result of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what took place. And I'm going to share 4 things with you about what Pentecost brings. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, why does He come upon you? And why is He with you? What's the purpose? And as we stand this morning and say, come Holy Spirit upon me, What is the intention of God for that? And I'm just going to introduce you to a few verses there in those early days. The Spirit comes for witness. Can you see Acts 1:8 again with me there? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The power of God is not for you to become a better person. The important thing to remember that this is not about you. We need to dispel thoughts about your life. This is not about you at all. It's about others. The Holy Spirit coming upon your life is about them. It's not to give you a good feeling. It's not for you to experience more. It's not for you to be overcome and go, wow, isn't this lovely? It's not about you at all. I think the move of God over the last 25, 30 years, and I've enjoyed it, and I've been a pastor 20 years, and my church was so desperate, before I became missions director, they were so desperate for God, they'd send their pastor anywhere. I've been all over the place because my church sent me to go and get something, to bring something back because they were so desperate. You know, go, pastor, go and get something. You know, okay. You know, and then I'd come back. Sometimes I didn't have anything, so I pretended, you know. It's okay. Just speaking honestly with you. What would you like? Would you like honesty or would you like more performance? I can do one or the other, really. Okay. Some over here prefer performance. I'll throw in one or two just to help, you know. And so I've gone up the mountain, down the mountain, in the river, out the river. I've gone everywhere you want to go for the Spirit. I've gone down in the Spirit, stood in the Spirit, knelt in the Spirit. You know, I've gone down when I shouldn't have gone down, stood up when I should have gone down. I've rocked and rolled, danced and jived. I've crawled and wept, and I've done everything. Hallelujah. You're all right. You're not frightened, are you? My roots are Salvation Army. It's another thing. I think it's just incredible sharing experience before the service with Ruth, because there's similar experiences, really. Got kicked out of the Salvation Army because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very dangerous, but I love the army. And the river of God over the last 25, 30 years has come amongst us. And I really think that we at times have experienced the Holy Spirit all wrong. It's like, you know, when God said to Gideon, whoa, look at these guys. Got 10,000. Hold on a moment. 9,700 are not right here. I'm going to do a river test. We'll have a river test. Because I'm sure these guys, their hearts aren't right. We're meant to be going somewhere in the world on a journey, on mission, focused as an army. And some of you guys, your hearts aren't right. So we'll do a river test. Go down to the river. And I think the last 20, 30 years has been a river test. And you know the story? Do you know this? You know what I'm talking about, eh? Yeah, it's Gideon. It's in the Bible. And you're right. Yeah. All right. And 9,700, right? Got down. I'm going to have neck ache soon. I've just realized I'm looking up like that. 9,700 got down on their knees and they started to drink water from the river like this, okay? Like a dog. They looked in the river. When you look in the river and you see yourself, it's great, isn't it? Wow, look at me. You mean you see a reflection? Reflection always makes you look better, doesn't it? Have you noticed? Wow, I am so handsome. Wow, I didn't realize that this is what people looked at all the time. It's all about me. Just give me a bit more of me. And 9,700 people approached the river like that. Just a bit more of me. Because I've got needs, you see. God knows that I've just got I need a little bit more of God just to sort some things out. So more Lord, more of me. Focus on me. 300 went down to the river and they lapped the water like this with their eyes upon the purpose and their mission because they're soldiers. The Holy Spirit's not about you. It's not for you. It's for the mission that Jesus called you into. The moment that the Holy Spirit comes into some kind of filling petrol station where it's all about you, it's the moment you've just missed something beautiful. The Holy Spirit's about empowering you for others. The power of the Holy Spirit is not about His presence in your life as much as your presence in the world. Thank you. I don't think I've ever had anybody say to me, can you say that? I can say if I remember it. The Holy Spirit coming into your life, it's not about His presence in your life as much as your presence in the world. Are you with me? So when Jesus says to us one thing, you see, when I was growing up in Pentecost, and I'm a son of a pastor, and we came out of the army. My parents were officers. We moved into Elam. And son of a pastor, you know, you go to everything, prayer meetings, you know, and even when my dad didn't get an appeal going really, really well, you know, after preaching, I'd go up forward as a faithful son to give my heart to the Lord again, you know. And well done, son. Got one tonight. It's me. So I've gone through the whole church, and I know this verse. This is our verse, isn't it? Acts 1:8 belongs to us. It's not the Methodists. It's ours. Pentecostal. You see power. I mean, just shall we say the verse together? Go.
You receive power.
Oh, that was rubbish. You've got to say that was absolute. That's rubbish. You know, that's rubbish. Okay. I mean, is there any Africans here? Does that microphone work? Does this work?
That's Alvin.
You're not Zamba. From there. Come on. Oh, I thought you were going to do it from up there. Come on then, come on down. What's the record for getting down here, by the way, when you get up there? Just say that verse. As an African.
As an African.
Which country are you from?
From Senegal.
Oh, wow.
But I'm British too.
I'm more interested in Senegal. I don't do Britain very well.
All right, well, I do Britain very well.
Okay. Go, do this verse.
Okay. Is it on?
I don't know. What's happened to there's nobody at the back? Have they got? Are they playing games or?
Well, I think okay. We're on. Okay. Amen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Bless you. That's great. Amen. And I've read that verse many, many times, preached on it, and I always saw it as two things. That I always saw it as you're going to receive power on your life, because I didn't like witnessing. Being brought up in the army, you know, you used to wear a uniform, go out on the streets before the morning service, open air, morning service, then open air in the afternoon, back for the 3 o'clock service, open air at five, then back to the evening service, wearing this uniform, you're out on the streets and all. It was always sunny on a Sunday, you know, and you couldn't do anything, you couldn't play out on a Sunday, couldn't do anything on a Sunday, you know, and the sun always shone on a Sunday, like God was having a joke, and then all your friends would see you with this uniform on, And my dad used to say, come on, son, that's witnessing. I'm thinking, no, I hate witnessing, you know. And so, you know, that was my experience of witnessing. I hated it. It's when I became a pastor, I used witnessing for discipline. So if people, you know, if members of my church, you know, if they were just a little bit like that, I'd go, give me an hour on the doors on Tuesday, you know, you'll be out on there, go and do some leaflet, you know. I don't, you know, leaflet tract distribution, you know what I mean? All right for terraced housing, you know. You can do 100 in an hour with terraced housing, but not for the long drives. And that kind of thing, you know, and I didn't really like witnessing, but I focused on power, you know. But then I saw that actually in this verse, Jesus says it's one thing and one thing alone. When the Spirit comes upon you, it is for witness. And you receive power to witness. It's one thing. In Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And witness is not about... It's not about putting a fish sign on the back of your car. Has anybody got one? Three people have confessed. It's all right. It's fine. It's all right. But, you know, it's more than that, isn't it? You know, I'm sure you didn't do this. There you go. Fish sign. There you are, Lord. Fish sign. That should bring in revival. Which way is your fish going? I swear, I saw one up. I did. I saw one going upstream once, and I thought, well, what a ridiculous thing. Because sometimes you see them going that way, and I never know which way it goes, but we're all different combinations, you know. But, you know, witnessing, it's not about your tracks and your badge shine. You know, Jesus loves your smile, Jesus loves your badge, all those kind of things. It's not about that at all. This word witness, in fact, John, in his revelation, interchangeably uses the word witness for martyrs. In fact, the word witness comes from that word martyria. And what Jesus says is this, is that when you go into all the world from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, I'm expecting that you are going to lay your life down. But in order for you to lay your life down, the only way you're going to be able to do that is because through the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to be coming upon you. And so the Spirit on your life, as the Spirit comes upon you, there is an expectation that you will lay your life down. Now, frankly, you and I, we know that in Britain, we're not going to see this. We're not going to perhaps go through the persecution. But 200 million people in over 60 nations face violent persecution simply because of their faith. And most martyrs suffer and die. Unsung heroes. People say, oh, how many people are martyred? Nobody knows. Nobody knows how many people are martyred every year because many die without knowing. I met this great family just on the right-hand side there, Reva and Shima. They're in India. I met them in January this year. And my involvement in missions has done more for me than I've ever done in missions. The reason why I believe local church should be involved globally is because of what God does for the local church. Because you're doing the heart of God. And every time I come back with something. Every time I'm there, I'm finding something that God is saying to me about my own spirituality, my own experience of Him. And this is Reva and Shima, and they're church planters. And can you imagine being in a community where you're the only Christian? And they in January, they went to a district of seven towns. And the Christian population is 0.003% within those towns. I mean, they were a very, very small minority of Christians. And they told... Reva's had alongside a number of the church planters that were there, had it, got an eardrum perforated, and because of the Buddhist, the high priest, a Hindu high priest now, trained their members to hit a Christian in a certain way that will perforate their eardrum with a strike, and so they come into their temples and they have training how to persecute Christians. And there is a law passed now in India that it's illegal to convert from Hindu to another faith. And in 2021, that's going to go massive right around India, and persecution is going to come. They're ready for it. They're church planting prolifically. And it's a real move of God in India right now at the moment. I said to this family, what do you do when persecution is just too much? What happens when you just can't, you know, your house has been, but they told us these stories. Their house has been burnt down. Their children have been beaten. The wives have been set upon. When it gets really, really too much for you and you just can't cope any longer with the persecution that's upon you, what do you do? He looked at me like, what a stupid question to ask. They said, we stay. We stay. And I thought to myself of the years that I was as a pastor, when I would be standing before people and my people, and they'd come to church with and they'd worship together, and some would be standing there with this desire to leave, desire to either leave church or leave their partner or leave this commitment or that commitment. And we're, in the Western culture, we always are we're geared towards leaving. I thought of all the prophetic words that I've ever heard, and the majority of them are about leaving. And I've never heard a prophetic word where God says stay. But the persecuted church today understand what it is to stand their ground. And how do you stand? How do you stand and lay your life down? How do you stand and surrender all? It's the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And this morning, maybe, you know, God's asking you to surrender. Maybe God's waiting for you to say, hopefully, I pray, never would we ever go through persecution. We might do, but hopefully not. But God is still asking you to surrender. God is still waiting for you to say yes. How are you going to lay your life down? It's through your Pentecost. It's through the Holy Spirit coming upon you to give you the power to do that. Let me give you another one here. So we move into Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit comes for the miracle of communication. Can you see this? That they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues? Luke uses the phrase beautifully well when he says, from every nation under heaven. Can you see that? It's the language of God. It's the language of the Word. The whole Word, the nations to the ends of the earth. It's from right through the Scriptures you see this phrase, all the earth, and under the earth, the whole world. We stand this morning, Lord of all the earth, we shout your praise. We know that we're in worship this morning, and we know that he's not just Lord of Edinburgh, but he's Lord of the whole earth. And we need to bring back into our mind, to the forefront of our mind, that we're worshiping a God of the whole world. We need to, not that we can make God any bigger, but we can magnify him in our own hearts. And Luke says, from every nation under heaven, and we see this migration coming into one city, into Jerusalem. God chose one people, one son, one church, not for privilege, but for responsibility, to express his love through that one chosen at that particular time, to show his love for the whole world. And he brings them into this city, and then supernaturally God speaks to every nation in their language, supernaturally. And I don't know how he manages to do that. I mean, there are recorded stories all around the world today of God moving supernaturally in this way, and so, and people speaking in tongues, and people hearing them in their particular language that they've not ever learnt. There are those stories. Whether this is a story of supernatural speaking or supernatural hearing, I'm not sure, but I know that it says that every nation under heaven was there, and they all heard God speaking, God being praised in their own language. God does supernatural things. One family in North Africa, missionary family, are still there in North Africa. We have to change their names because they're in an insecure place. And they're working in a team. And they told me it's an amazing story that they were out in a village, just walking through the village, looking for, they were prayer walking really, just looking for someone to engage in conversation with. And they came across three sisters. The youngest sister was deaf and dumb. And two of them, whose nicknames was Cat and Cookie, Catherine, and the second one had a barrel surname, and she was nicknamed Cookie, and that became important in a moment. And they engaged, the other team engaged the two sisters in conversation, and they would just had enough time to come to the youngest sister. And the elder sister has said she's deaf and dumb because there's been a curse placed upon her, and they were laughing, and she hasn't been able to speak for years or hear. And so they just had enough time while they were engaging the other two sisters just to whisper in her ear, Jesus, heal this girl. That's all they said. A month went by. It was actually the next month. This happened in February last year. In March, they were actually away from the area completely, and Catherine received a call on her mobile, and the girl on the other end of the phone said, do the two words cat and cookie mean anything to you? And she said, who are you? She said, I'm a girl in a village. She said, are you the girl that I was in that village? Are you the girl we prayed for a month ago? Cat and cookie, do they mean anything to you? She said, well, Cat is my nickname, and Cat is my shortened name, and Cookie is the nickname of my friend who was with me. She said, what's happened? And she said, well, that night I went to bed, and Jesus came to me and explained salvation to me, and When you did pray for me, something did touch my throat. But that night, Jesus healed me so that the next morning I could hear and I could speak. And it came to me in a dream, and in the dream, he showed me a picture of a cat and a cookie. And I didn't understand until now why he showed me a cat and a cookie. And then he also gave me a set of numbers. And I'm phoning them now. Telling my friends that Jesus, all over the world, in the Islamic world, is moving in an amazing way. Incredible way. This is a day of Pentecost where supernatural things are happening, and supernatural things are happening today. And every people from every nation heard the church glorifying God, and they're going, I understand that. What's happening? This is amazing. I'm hearing God being declared. I don't know how many nations there are in Edinburgh, but I still understand this, is that God wants to take us as a church and to be able to communicate to every nation in Edinburgh and beyond the glory of God, the wonders of God, that He is an amazing Lord and Savior, that He is alive today and He can powerfully heal and do amazing things for men and women today as He did. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes and He's here for you. And I believe as the church rises up and declares the wonders of God in praise and worship, I still believe that every nation under heaven can still hear the wonders of God being declared. Can you agree with me? Amen. It's the power for the. It's the Spirit comes for the miracle of communication. The Spirit comes for blessing. This is the third point. There's two more, including this one, and then we're finished. Just to let you know those, so you can be encouraged. The Spirit comes for blessing. Can we just read this? Let me read this to you in Acts chapter 3. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Now, where's that coming? That's Peter. The Spirit comes for blessing, but it's not your blessing. You're already blessed. Because you've committed your life to Jesus. This is not Jesus plus. The Spirit doesn't come because Jesus is not enough. And you've got Jesus and you're Christian, but you've just not quite made it yet. So the Spirit comes, oh, phew, now I've got the full package. That's not it. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that's it. Right? The Spirit comes not for your blessing, but for you to be a blesser. That through you, that you become a vehicle of the blessing of God to people who don't know Jesus. That's it, friends. And Peter, he's full of the Spirit. He's had his day of Pentecost. God has been upon him and he's just actually seen the healing. He's been involved in it. He's been a blesser and seen a cripple healed. Now he stands to deliver a sermon. What does he deliver? Does he give a seminar on the power of the Spirit? Does he speak about how the Spirit is coming today to heal? Does he speak about the gifts of the Spirit? No. He brings us right back to the very beginning, and he brings us back way beyond Moses, way beyond Samuel, way beyond Moses, right back to Abraham, and says, friends, Abraham was told, through your offspring, all peoples on earth. All peoples on earth. And I'm standing in a city of every nation under heaven is in this city for Pentecost Jewish festival. And I'm telling you this, that Abraham was told that God is interested in the whole earth to bless them. And the Spirit upon us is to be a blessing to people of different cultures and different nations, different languages, different backgrounds of life. Blessing to make them happy, to reach out to them, to give to them, to make their life better in some way, to lift them up, to tell them there's a better future, to pour out our love and God's love for them. And finally, can I just say, this is finally. Do you love that word? The Spirit comes with confidence. What happens is that after Pentecost, the Spirit comes, healings take place, like thousands are added to the church, and then Peter and John are taken into prison. They experience their first suffering and kind of like, whoa, things are going wrong here. We're in jail. Then they're released from jail. They go back to the church. They go back into a prayer meeting. And on their release, there's this prayer said from within the church. And the prayer goes like this. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David, and then they quote Psalm 2. Everybody knew the whole psalm, every verse of the whole psalm. They quote a couple of verses and in their prayer, but everybody then knows what the whole psalm is about. We don't operate like that, but they did. Jesus did, and the Jews did, and the Jewish believers did, and the early church did. And they understood, they memorized their scripture. So you just mention a verse, and then the whole scripture, the whole of that psalm is there in your forefront. And they said, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The whole point is this. Everyone knows a psalm. They just quote a few verses and they go, ah, yes, this psalm being used in prayer is giving us the confidence. What is a psalm all about? It's a messianic psalm. It's a prophetic psalm of the Messiah to come. That when he comes into the whole earth. But actually God is the God of the whole earth. He's the anointed one. And actually when the nations rage, it actually says the Lord laughs at the strength of the earth. When the earth goes, look how strong we are, we're defying God, the Lord just laughs at them, because actually God is mighty and strong and powerful. He's over control over all the nations, whatever's taking place in the world. And we go, oh my Lord, what's happening? This is all going terribly wrong. And the doomsayers come and say, oh, it's a terrible place, this is a terrible world. God is in control of his whole world. He's sits enthroned. The Lord, the Holy One, on the holy hill is enthroned in Zion. He's above all and beyond all. He's transcendent. He's not in a crisis. He's not panicking. He's not scratching his head going, oh my God, oh my God, what am I going to do? He knows exactly what's happening, and he's going to bring the world into a fulfillment and a completion that's in his perfect sovereign will. It's okay. Let's have confidence. It may be going wrong with you this morning. You may be going through some tough stuff, and for people across the world who are being persecuted, hold on, because God is mighty. Amen. Amen. It instills confidence. So let's stand. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Mike, can you come? Are you ready to lay your life down? Are you ready to declare the wonders of God to your city beyond? Are you ready to be a blesser? Are you ready to stand in your situation with confidence? Every situation that you face is only to try and distill you from confidence that it's going to be okay. But to be able to stand this morning and say, I know it's going to be okay, because God is in control of the whole earth. Do with me, God, whatever you want to do with me. I lay my life down. Now I pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I know time hasn't gone, actually, because unless you got to go somewhere.